I'm going to read here in Galatians chapter 5, the passage that we're considering and breaking this down. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That's talking about nailing the flesh down. Crucifixion of the flesh. Nailing it down with the desires and the affections of the flesh. Those are nailed down. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, capital S, do we claim to be saved? Are you saved? Have you been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ? Understanding and believe and know that the Lord Jesus Christ saved your soul? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, capital S. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, the esteem by others of us. You know why? You know what we have to prove one to another? You know, as brothers and sisters in Christ and saved children of God on this earth, you know what we have to prove to one another? Nothing. We've got nothing that we need to prove to one another. You hear that? Now the world is a continual proving ground, isn't it? I'm this wealthy, I'm this able, I'm this that, I know these people, I know those people, I have this experience. But what we need to do is we need to love one another. And we need to provoke one another to love and good works. And understand that our relationship in the church is not about one upping each other. Right. It's not about trying to make ourselves look better on the back of somebody else. But it's about doing what the work of the church that the Lord's given us and what? Preaching the gospel, baptizing believers, and teaching the all things to those that come and the Lord leads and they come in and join this church. We'll have peace if we do that, won't we? Amen, we will. And so, are you saved? Well, be about manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. If we're not loving like we ought to be loving, let us pick it up and love more. If we're not joyful like we ought to be, enjoying the Lord, let us be joy and rejoice in the Lord. He is the joy of the Lord is our strength. And then peace, this subject of peace, it's only found in Christ. We've taken a look about in John chapter 14 where the Lord says that His peace He gives. We took a look here in 2 Peter chapter 3 and we want to look at that a little bit more and then go on to some other passages. Here we've taken a look at what Peter was writing here. And he says, I want to remind you of some things. They talk about those that scoff. Those are walking after their own desires, their own lust. They say, where's the promise of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? I ask you about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming. He's going to do those things that He's going to do. Does that trouble you? Or are you at peace with that? Do you rest in that? You look forward to that? Our brother, he gets on to that point, doesn't he? He says, there's willful ignorance of the way that the Lord created, the way the Lord destroyed the earth with water. There's willful ignorance about the coming of the Lord. Men don't want it. But you know what? In verse number 7, the way the Lord kept the earth in store in the days of the flood is the same way He's keeping it in store now. He's not in a hurry, is He? One day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. God's not in a hurry. He's not on our timetable. He's not on any man's timetable. He's on His timetable, right? And He's not slack concerning promises either, verse 9, right? But He is going to bring His people to salvation. He's going to do it. Verse number 15, you know, it says there in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's going to bring His people. He's not in a fret or a fit. He's not up against the gun or up against the gun, if you will, to get it accomplished in time. He's going to take care of it. Look here in verse 15. An account, this is the way that we should be, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. You know, Him being willing to give time, from the human standpoint, to give time to sinners, is just yet another testimony of the love and grace and mercy of God towards sinners. Him waiting. We want Him to come. Amen. Do you want Him to come? I want Him to come back. I want my family saved. I desire your family to be saved, your children, your grandchildren, my grandchildren. I desire that. I want that. We need to pray that the Lord would be merciful and do so. We need to be a good witness of the salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ in the time that we have here. But I want Him to come. You know, but Him given time, again from the human standpoint, Him given time, He's in the saving business, isn't He? Even yet today. Brother Jim, we haven't seen a soul saved in a couple months now. Well, that doesn't mean He's quit. Have you quit? Have you and I quit on the Lord? May the Lord help us. We wouldn't quit. Amen? Right. And so He says, it's in His hands. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, verse 10. And He says, we need to be looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, when He's going to tear this thing up and righteousness is going to be established, that new heaven and that new earth is going to be established, and there'll be zero hindrance in our being with the Lord, with Him through eternity forever and enjoying and admiring Him. Amen. Brother Jim, that sounds kind of boring. Something's wrong with your heart. Something's wrong with your heart if you're not looking to enjoy and adore the Lord Jesus Christ through eternity. Yeah, I know we're hindered by this flesh. I understand that. And I'm not saying that my heart's always right. But if the thing is, if you think, well, you know, I kind of like doing my work. I kind of like doing my hobby. I like kind of do it, living my life. And I don't know if that's going to be a good trade, you know, being there. I mean, what are we going to do after 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks of the same thing? Don't have a clue about what eternity is going to be all about. May the Lord help us that we would engage the Word of God. You know, see, that right there, and then that scenario that I've listed to you there and brought before you there about our consideration, the consideration that we may have of eternity and how we maybe you're not that way. I've had times I've been that way. There's a time in my life that I was... I was bothered and disturbed that the blessing that has been upon the generations before me might not be mine. Okay, let me talk to you about that. Raised up in this country, nice and free, go to school, get a great education, go get a killer paying job, work it for 30 years, have a great retirement, live it for 20 years. You know, there were generations before us that had that, and looking on at it, it was just like gravy. You know what? The blessing that the Lord's given me is the blessings He's given me. I don't even need to have my sights on the world that way. I need to be thankful what the Lord's done for me. You know what? When the Lord showed me that and helped me get past that and get over that, you know what I had? I had some peace. I had some rest. And I had some enjoyment and got rid of some potential for bitterness. Because the Lord's in control. He's in control. We need to look for and hasten that day when the Lord's going to do this. Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace. In peace. In peace. We have peace with the Lord through Jesus Christ, and we need to be peaceful. No matter what may come along, may the Lord help us that we would be resting in Him. In peace, it says, found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Yeah, we might be lied on, but is it the truth? That's what that blameless is talking about. Sure, we can be lied on. We can be told stories about. We can have the truth twisted on us to where it puts us in a bad light. But are we guilty? Because what this is talking about is before the Lord. Are we guilty before the Lord? May the Lord help us that we not be. We be found blameless before Him, right? Before Him. In peace, without spot. Taken this world and putting it off of us. And everything that we do, everything that we think, everything we watch, everything we listen to, everywhere we go, that if the Lord wouldn't go it, if the Lord wouldn't go there, eat it, drink it, wear it, be involved with it, that we not be. Amen. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. He's working on us in the meantime, and he's waiting for the right time when the Father is going to say, "Son, go." What the song says, "Bring my children home." When the Father says go, this is the time. You think Jesus is going to be going, "Oh, okay," and, you know, "I'll go over here and get his coat." And no, he's going to go, isn't he? He's, if you will, I believe the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, from the human standpoint, he's chomping at the bit to come. But he'll wait for the Father. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. We see this reconciliation note here between the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul. Paul calling him down in Antioch about his behavior there. And Peter's saying, you know, Paul's written some stuff about this. He's written some stuff about this, and it's good stuff. It is good. Even as our, the account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Peter's not jealous of what the Lord's given Paul, has he? He realizes and has come to that the Lord's called him, that he's going to be a martyr for the Lord's sake. And he's not saying, well, what about John? What about Paul? He said, the Lord's given Paul a ministry. And it's been a blessing to us and be a blessing to you. And look what it says here. I had never seen that this way in verse 16. As also in all his epistles, his writings, speaking of them of these things that Peter has told about, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. You know what Peter has said? I just never saw it this way. But he says, just like those that are unlearned and unstable rest the scripture that we have. He refers to them as the other scriptures. You hear that? He's saying Paul's epistles are scripture too. You see that? As Paul has written the epistles that he's written, and those that are unstable and wrestle against the Scripture, it's to their own destruction, like they do the other Scripture that has been written. You see that? It's a sanction upon the writing of the Apostle Paul that what he has written is Scripture also. Now, that was a real blessing. I never seen that. That goes in those listing of Scriptures about the Scriptures. Amen. And he says here, it is Scripture. Now, look what it is here. Look what I mentioned about this earlier. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things that Peter has talked about, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Unlearned and unstable, in ignorance, is there peace? And instability, is there peace? Don't know anything what the Word of God says? We'll be unstable. Wind of doctrine will blow around, and we'll blow around with it. The waves, if you will, the sea of mankind and the way of mankind. Jude talks about it, right? That empty clouds, waves of the sea going around who are foaming out their own shame. That stuff blows around or comes around the way of men. If we don't have the Scripture in us, we're going to be unstable. We're not going to have peace. If we don't have what the Word says, what the Lord says, because see, what is our peace based on? It's based on the Lord. It's based on what He's done, amen? It's based on what he's promised, amen? It's based on what He's established. Otherwise, what's the basis for our peace? He said to the disciples, I give my peace, give I unto you. Not as the world giveth. Right? Remember that? John 14. He says, if we're ignorant, if we're unlearned in the Scriptures and unstable, we'll have no peace. Which do you desire? I'm not talking about talk. Talk's cheap. But which do you and I desire? Do we desire rest, R-E-S-T, in the Lord? Or do we want the way, W-R-E-S-T, bucking against the Scripture? The Scripture comes along and says, I don't like what that does to me. That if I abide by that, it's going to mortify my old man too much. That's resting. That's twisting. That's being led by the Word of God and being led by the Scripture. And this, you ever have your child, you grab a hold of their shoulder and they want to wrench out from under your hand? That's what we do against the Word of God if we don't want to believe Him. Right. Which they that are unlearned, don't know Him, and unstable, they rest. May the Lord help us so we not be that way. We all can have a tendency to that in one way or another. As they do also the other Scriptures under their own destruction. That's what it'll bring. Resting the Scriptures. Brother Jim, I want this. Brother Jim, I want that. I think it ought to be like this because Daddy said it or Mama said it or, you know, great uncle so-and-so said it. No, we need to believe it because the Lord said it. But if we don't know what He said, we're going to be unstable. We'll be in a position to rest it when it comes along. You know, I was thinking about a thing today and this week. And it seems like it's really the test. And may the Lord help us all. I mean, the Lord help us all. You know, we really want one of the aspects of life and what we say we believe about the Scripture. We really find it out when it comes down to our kids. Our kids put us to the test about what we believe. Bottom line. Because our children that come from us, we love them. We want good things for them. But I tell you what, that's the test. And may the Lord help us that we be obedient to the Lord and what He says. That when an issue comes up that we don't say, okay, honey, what is it that you want here? And then we'll try to massage this. No, we go to the Lord and then we look to abide by that. Take an evaluation of your life. Our kids, the issues with our kids get closest to us the quickest. May the Lord help us. We need to abide by what the Lord says. You know what it'll do? You know what happens? Our children can see our hypocrisy like that. Just like that. They see right through it. They live with us every day. They see through our hypocrisy just like that. And they'll see through our inconsistency just like that. They'll do it. And may the Lord help us that we abide by what the Lord says in His Word and take that in our homes and in our lives and live by that. Not by the big, loud sound that we make, but by what we do. Consistent. The same, the same, the same. The Lord shows us in the Scripture where something's wrong, then we go ahead and make that tweak, make that change. And the same, the same, the same. May the Lord help us in that. May the Lord help us in that. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, what did He say? I'm reminding you. He said, you know these, you know this. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He says, you know these things. But you know what? The world and the way of the world and the media, mankind is just continually pressing. When Clarissa and I saw the other day a trailer out in the field where they'd put hay on it. Brother Jimmy keeps cattle, and I talked to my father-in-law about this some time ago, and he said, you take a piece of equipment and leave it in the field and leave it close to where those cattle run, they'll go and I guess they got an itch, maybe they want to scratch, or if it's close there to the path that they travel, those cows will just lean and lean and they'll wear the paint plumb off a piece of equipment just by leaning on it. Or they'll take it and they'll break it down just by leaning on it and leaning on it. That's the way the world's doing us. Just leaning, leaning, leaning. He says, don't be led away with the error of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness. You've got a reputation of being steadfast. I'm thankful the way the Lord's blessed us as a church. I tell you what, He's been good to us, but you know what? That was His blessing for that day. May the Lord help us that we not claim that for now. We can't go back and claim faithfulness that we were blessed with or steadfastness that we were blessed with. We can't take that and bring that up here to now. Now we can remember that as an example of what we ought to do now. But we can't take and trade on that. I'm all for thanking the Lord, but don't rest on that, because that won't take care of us today. We need the Lord today. We need the application of His Word today. But grow in grace, verse 18, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in Him. Are you growing? Since April 2011, have you grown? You have some things in your life that you know you ought to be doing and you ought to be taking care of, and the Lord has taught you, He taught you years ago that you ought to be obedient to Him in this, that, or the other. But maybe for the last year, maybe longer than that, been putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. What He gives, may the Lord help us that we pursue that. And then we seek to grow in His grace. We see the Lord work. We see Him give out His instruction, promises maybe that go with it. We obey Him. We find Him faithful and true. We stand by His word and issue and things that come about, and we find Him to be true where He honors His word. And we grow up in Him. Something comes along, we say, well, it's an opportunity for the Lord to show His power. I've seen Him deliver after this sort and after that sort. And I know He can deliver after this sort too. Lord, what is it that You want us to do? And then, Lord, in the meantime, we're waiting on You. Amen? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in Him. Matthew 11, there at the end of the chapter, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. You can't learn too much about Jesus. Could you take a pad of paper? You take a pad of paper and write what you know about Jesus. How far could you get? How far could you and I get about what we know about Jesus? We need to know about Him. He's our Savior. He died for us. Amen? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever, in these lives, in our lives indeed. I want to show you, and I want us to take a look at here just a couple of scriptures. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Look what here in one of the greatest straits that the Lord's disciples found themselves in. When was it? It was after His crucifixion. They're standing there marveling. The Lord had told them, He told them. They didn't understand it. They didn't get it. They didn't hang on to it. They didn't keep it. He told them what was going to happen. We've taken at different times taken a look at that in the Gospel of John. There with the Lord with His disciples in the upper room and all those things that He spoke to them there and on the way to Gethsemane, it seems. But they are perplexed that He has died. He's dead. The one that they thought that would deliver Israel. He's dead. Some of them saw Joseph and Nicodemus bury the Lord. How can He be dead? but he's dead. And what's going to happen to us? They, the scripture bears out that they were gathered together in that upper room for fear of the Jews. No doubt the leadership, the apostles, thought they would be next. Acts tells us that they're few in number in comparison to the multitude that's there at Jerusalem. What, 120? Some are of the opinion maybe that might be 120 households, men, even at that. Their number pale in comparison to the Roman army, don't they? And the power of the Jews and the Herodians and all that, right? Look what the Lord says to him when he comes and he is there and manifests himself unto them. Remember how one of the apostles asked the Lord, says, "How is it that you'll manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Verse number 36, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." They saw him dead. They did not remember what he said, that he'd take his life. It was so outrageous for him to be alive again. I mean, they had to have heard it. But as it is with us, they really didn't hear it, did they? They heard it. But it's like, what's he talking about? Raising from the dead? Living again? Taking his life back? Must mean something else. Right? You ever done? We've done that, haven't we? We hear a thing, we say, well, that can't be. Must mean something else. But then he appears before him. What's he say? Peace be unto you. Peace. Amen. He's the one, they thought, the passage bears out that they thought they'd seen a spirit, right? Or as we would say in the modern vernacular, or the present day vernacular, a ghost. But he answered that, didn't he? He said, "Grab hold of my hand. Got something to eat? Fish? Honeycomb?" He said, "I'm flesh. Yeah, I just appeared here, but I'm flesh." He says, "Peace be unto you. Peace." But they were terrified and affrighted, verse 37, and supposed that they'd seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Peace be unto you." Look in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Verse 19, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Same Greek word that's over there in Galatians chapter 5, peace be unto you. He's the one that gives peace. He's saying, rest in me. I told you, even though I was dead, I've got it all under control. What a statement, right? Even though I'm dead, I'll take my life back again. Is that power? Amen. And the thing is do we focus upon the power? Well, the power is manifested in the Savior. We focus upon Him. Well, if He can take care of that, He can sure take care of me. Amen? We can have peace. We can rest in Him. "Lord, I've never been through this before," we would say about something that would come about. But does the Lord know what it's all about? Yeah. And we can be at peace. It goes on to say here, "And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side," verse 20, "then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." They went from being afraid to being happy, didn't they? Joyous in Him. "And then said Jesus to them, Peace be unto you, and as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I believe, of the church. A private thing. It was manifested on Pentecost to the world. But here's when the Lord, just like John the Baptist said, he saves whoever he will, and he's going to give his church the Spirit also. Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained, responsibility in the church. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore saith unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. You know, we're only going to have peace. We're going to be able to manifest peace in the Lord Jesus Christ because of him. Amen. Do you have Jesus Christ? He is who we need. Him. He's the Savior. He's the King. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And what's he say? And be not faithless, but believing. Thomas's answer is the answer that we all need to have. We all, that needs to come from our very soul and from our very, from us, from the depths of who we are, our soul, our heart. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Does Thomas have peace now? He does, doesn't he? There he is. He is alive. He's got peace in the Lord. There's a couple more things I want us to take a look at here, and we'll pick these up next time. Take a look about this false peace that the world tries to give. There's a message or two that I preached about that some time ago. The thing that I remember most about it is how it was with the peace symbol. You know the peace symbol, right? The chicken foot. So-called peace symbol. It has Germanic origins. It's a Germanic rune, a symbol, a spiritual symbol, and it represents death. Don't let your kids wear any kind of peace jewelry or peace sign shirts or nothing. You know what that symbol meant back in the 1930s, 20s, 30s, and 40s, it meant death. Death. But here we've been suckered into taking it on as the peace symbol, and it's been changed into meaning peace. It doesn't mean peace. It's a false peace. It's wickedness. That's the way the world is. And the thing, and what the Lord said, he says, I'm not going to give you peace like the world gives. But my peace. Was his Lord peaceful? Is the Lord upset or uptight right now? No. He's in control. Because he's in control, we can have peace in him. May the Lord help us in that. If you're here and you're not saved, you don't have peace. You might say you have a peace or you're comfortable with your situation now, but I tell you what, you don't have peace to die with because you don't have a Savior. We point you to Christ, the giver of everlasting peace, the giver of everlasting life, because it's all based on Him. Repent of your sins and trust in Him. Believe in Him. Repent and believe the gospel. May the Lord help.